And so about 2.5 years ago, my wife Shelly and I sat down and said, you know, what can we do here? Went to a dealer group that I've known for a number of years and said, I'm thinking about going off on my own, said, I'd love to earn your business. It was interesting because it went from an hour and a half meeting with one of the children of the dealer group to them calling me 20 minutes later saying, hey, can you come meet with the rest of the family? I did. To 2 hours later, me calling my wife saying, I just closed the biggest deal of my life. And this is a true story.
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Dealer Playbook. We're here at NADA 2024. I'm sitting down with Steve Whitlock. He is the president of Innovation Financial Services. We're talking all about how automotive professionals can pursue the road to ownership. Stay tuned. I want to thank this episode's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, online and now in your showroom. Dealerships with AutoFi sell cars faster with higher satisfaction and more profit. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. The car business is rapidly changing and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we'll explore the best strategies, ideas, and tools to create a thriving life in and out of the business. This is the Dealer Playbook. Steve, thanks for joining me on the Dealer Playbook.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
So I got to know, obviously sounds like a very diverse history in the automotive industry. How did you get into the business?
So I was right out of high school, went into the military for a few years.
Oh.
Got out of the Navy after 4 years, got into restaurant management, but I was pursuing wanting to be a fireman.
Cool.
So I was actually a career fireman for the state of Massachusetts for a number of years. If you've known any career firemen, we've all had part-time jobs.
Yeah.
So I've done everything from landscaping to carpenter to gutters, you
right.
name it.
Sure.
And at one point I started selling cars part-time.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but what is it about those trades in particular? Because all of my firefighter buddies either build custom closets or they do all those. You just gravitate to handwork.
Yeah, you know, I think just because, you know, that trait tends to be, you know, it's a job that where it's a very physical job.
Yeah.
Right. And so it just makes sense that that's kind of what we gravitate to. But what allowed us to do it is the schedule. You know, I worked a schedule where I worked 24 hours on, 24 hours off, and then I had 5 days off.
Wow.
So I say part time, but I really worked about another 30 hours a week.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Unreal.
Yeah.
And so you go from being a firefighter and then find your way into the car business.
Yeah. I started selling cars part time because, yep. you know, I was, and that's one thing that was great about being a fireman is if you had a part time job and you just got tired of it, it was a part time job. You had a full time income. You know, so I had quite a few jobs just because when I got bored of it, I would move on to something else. Started selling cars. Then I started getting trained to do backup finance. That individual left, took another job, and the dealership came to me and asked me if I wanted to fill the position. At that point, I started to get a taste of the income. Slightly different than being a civil servant,
yep,
if you will.
Sure.
So I took the gamble, rolled the dice, and, you know, just went from there.
Haven't looked back. You did that proverbial trust fall back into the industry, and you're like, well, here we are. And so how many years ago was that now?
Yeah, but, you know, no one caught me. Now I think about it. No one caught me. So
for good or bad.
Yeah. So I was a fireman starting in 1999. So it was about 2003 when I got into the car industry.
20 years.
Got out of the fire department in 2005. That's when I transitioned over.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, the guy that I was getting all my F&I product from,
yeah.
you know, he came to me and said, Steve, I think you'd be great, you yep. know, on yep. this side of the fence, if you will. So I kind of fell in love with the idea of my own schedule, you know, travel sounded a little sexy to me at that point, which that lasted for about, you know, 60 days living in a hotel room, you know, just was looking to, you know, be back at home. But I just found that this is what I truly enjoy.
Wow. That's awesome. And then, successful retail career, finance understanding. Now you're the president of Innovation Financial Services. How did that happen?
So I worked on the agency side, what I call the agency side, for a number of years for a small company out of Connecticut. Then I had the admin side of the business, so the people that create the service contracts and the GAAP policies. I was offered a job working for one of those companies. So when I took that position, great that I have that experience, but what I didn't like about it is it removed me from having that interaction right straight to the car dealerships. Now I actually work through the agent. So it's the agency that had to do the job and get one to the stores.
So,
and I missed that part. And so I worked that admin side for a little while. Had an opportunity to go run another agency in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Did that. And then I had this, I've always liked Texas. And so I had an opportunity to go work for a company out of Texas on the agency side again. So I did that for a number of years. And then interesting enough, back in 2018, I had a couple car guys, friends that came to me and said, hey, Steve, we're doing business with all of these different companies in all of our stores. We don't want to do that anymore. We want to create a company within our dealership that you would run, you create, and we just house all that under one umbrella.
Interesting.
So I created what was called Affinity Dealer Solutions. Phenomenal opportunity. Allowed me to cut my teeth on doing it on my own. So I did that for a couple of years. And then I had a larger dealer group come to me and said, hey, we heard what you did for those guys. You want to do it for us? Was an equity partner. Created another agency. Extremely successful. But I was getting to the point where it's like I just wanted to truly do it for myself.
Yeah.
And so about 2.5 years ago, my wife Shelly and I sat down and said, you know, what can we do here? Went to a dealer group that I've known for a number of years and said, I'm thinking about going off on my own. Said, I'd love to earn your business. It was interesting because it turned in, went from an hour and a half meeting with one of the children of the dealer group to them calling me 20 minutes later saying, hey, can you come meet with the rest of the family? I did, to 2 hours later, me calling my wife saying, I just closed the biggest deal of my life. And this is a true story. This is a true story. So she's like asking me all these questions. And I'm like, babe, I just walked out of the meeting. Let me get home. Let me kind of process this. So I remember walking in the door. I'm gonna be nice with what I'm going to say. I'm going to tone it down a little bit. But I walk in the door. She comes up to me. She gives me a hug. She's like, this is amazing. This is going to be great. She looks like, she goes, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you happy? And I look at her. I go, I don't have a company name. Now, I said it with another word in there, but I was like, I don't have a company name. I mean, that's how innovation was born.
Wow. Well, and there's a principle there that I think is really important to underscore, and we'll segue off of this into the next thing I want to talk to you about, which is move before you're ready.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of innovation gets stifled because people want the perfect circumstances before they take action.
I would agree with that,
And I mean, as
they
a firefighter,
a
as a military professional, thank you for your service, by the way.
Sure.
And
absolutely.
Being a civil servant in fire, you know, by nature, you're like, I'm just going to run into the fire. Yes, preparation. Yes, all of those things. But at the end of the day, I still got to run into the fire. And that's what I take from this experience. Your wife going, so what's your problem? You're like, I just ran into a fire.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Which I think is so powerful.
Hey, I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Dealer Playbook. And before we hop back in, I want to thank today's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. Their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu, all in one powerful platform. Dealerships with AutoFi sell cars faster, with higher satisfaction, and more profit. In fact, dealers make an average of $641 higher back-end PVR on AutoFi deals versus their non-AutoFi deals. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. All right, let's hop back into this episode.
I think there's a lot of people in our industry today that are in that same boat where they've been working in the industry for quite some time. Maybe they're a general manager, maybe they're a general sales manager, maybe some sort of mid-level
F&I director,
somebody that's, you know, climbed to a certain point, are starting to look up and see that maybe that ceiling a little bit, and they're thinking, well, what do I do next? Like, what is the next thing that I want to pursue? Two, I think what is the American dream, create, at least have a solid crack at creating some generational wealth.
A legacy.
And so tell me about what Innovation Financial Services is thinking about. What are you thinking about in the next phase of your growth in helping industry professionals move their career needle?
Yeah. So, you know, we've been, where we're at right now, I market up to three things. We've been very lucky, we've been very blessed, and we've had a lot of work, a lot of hard work. In doing so, I built this amazing team around me. One of the individuals that I brought on, Delano Palmer, just came out of retail. He was a general manager.
Sure. Yeah.
And about a year ago, he came to me and goes, hey, I got a friend of mine. Would like to own a dealership. Can you help? So started orchestrating some relationships, having the conversations, and we're at the point now where we're pretty close to getting him his first dealership. So when Delano came on board, he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about something. He's like, you know, we're doing this for my buddy. He's like, what if we create a program? What if we create an opportunity where we facilitate ownership for car dealerships, for car guys?
Yeah.
So we started calling some of our contacts, just saying, hey, just out of curiosity.
Yeah.
And what we discovered is, what you said, is the industry is packed full of incredibly talented individuals with the know-how, but they don't know how to own their own dealership.
Right.
The other piece of this too is general managers don't have the power they used to. And so it's hard for these general managers, with all this talent, to go in and do what they want to do, but somebody above them is pointing the fingers and telling them what they have to do.
Sure.
So it's very frustrating. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine owned a dealership, sold a dealership, very, very successful, retired for about 3 years, and guess what he's doing now? He's back in the market, but he's working for somebody. And he's very frustrated because he's run the dealership. It was a successful dealership. And now his handcuffs are tied. So what we've done is we've created what we call a road to ownership. And so it's an opportunity where we assist with the facilitation of John Doe general manager. We facilitate the opportunity for him to own his own dealership.
Sure.
And at that time, what we're hoping for is we've earned the right at that point to sit there and go, let us be your F&I company. Let us come in and take our experience and let us run your F&I department, and we're going to make it as successful as possible. Because when you take over a store, there's a lot going on. So why don't you remove that burden and you can put it on
us? I love it. Yeah. I love how you phrase that. I think even as I look at my own career, the moments where I felt the most stuck was when I pontificated over the but how.
Yep.
So I think that's what we all need is somebody to grab us by the elbow and say, hey, don't worry about the how. Yep. Let's talk about the what's. What's the sequence of what am I going to do in order to make this come to fruition? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, and that's exactly it. There's a lot of moving parts. And the fact that Delano, God bless him, when I said, you know, gave him the blessing, yeah, let's figure this out. He just went to town and he was emailing, phone calls, text messaging. And I'll tell you a little bit about Delano. Love the guy. He's my boy. His best quality, and Delano knows this, his best quality is he's relentless.
Yeah.
His worst quality...
He's relentless.
So what I like to say is he's that bulldog that I have to control a little
bit. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to do this.
Yeah.
But he just went to town and next thing I know, he's come to me and goes, hey, I vetted the brokers. This is the broker that we've lined up with. The broker is bringing a finance guy along with it. The broker then refers the lawyer. So we have an attorney lined up. The other thing too is we have investment opportunities. Most of these guys have money in the bank. Some of them have enough, some don't. So we actually have some investors that will then take a look at the opportunity and go, you know, I'm okay, you know, giving up a $250,000 or $500,000 to get there.
Wow, that's fantastic. So far, I mean, this seems like it's quite new. What's the response been so far?
So it is quite new. Delano joined my team about 60 days ago.
Okay.
When he brought this to me and I said, yeah, it's a great idea. Go ahead, get it going. My next conversation is, NADA is 4 weeks away. We need it for NADA.
Run into the fire.
Again, right? And he's like, yes, sir, right to it. So we announced it. We did a video 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Prior to that, we had two people in our pipeline. We actually have nine.
Wow.
We have, off of one video, we have nine individuals
Fantastic.
That contacted us going, I'm there. Now, at the same time, some of these guys,
yep.
Give you an analogy, you'll understand this. Some of these guys want to own their dealership, right? The analogy I'll give is the customer that walks into a new showroom and says, I want that Mercedes, but I don't have any money down. I want to be at $60 a month or 60 months, and I want to have a monthly payment of $400.
Yeah,
right. What do we say to them? We can put you in this Toyota Corolla, but let us show you how you can make on-time payments. Come see us in 2.5 years, and we'll get you in that Mercedes.
Yeah, sure. Right?
So some of the individuals, you know, we have to guide them, and we have to set them up. But we've already have them in that pipeline.
Yeah.
And then we're going to make sure that we work through them and they're doing everything that we're suggesting that they do. So yeah. In that 2-3 year time frame, now you come back and we could start putting it together for you.
I'm glad you brought that up, because my next line of questions was going to be around, okay, so those that are in these positions, like you said, finance director or general manager, GSM, something like that, who know they're not quite there yet, but aren't sure what they should be thinking about to be prepared. What are the maybe top three things, aside from like money stashed away, like how much money should they be thinking about putting away for the purpose of investing?
Longer answer, simply for the fact,
yep,
is if they're a minority dealer, that changes everything.
Really?
Changes everything. We actually sponsored at NADA 2024. We were so excited to be a proud sponsor of the Chrysler Minority Dealers Association.
Wow.
But to answer your question, to set the expectation is, if you get a guy that's never owned a dealership before, he's not going to get a dealership in Houston.
Sure.
He's not going to get a dealership in Dallas.
Sure.
Los Angeles. They're going to be on the outskirts. Those stores that are in those markets, they get scooped up pretty quick by the big guys,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
And they get the money. So to set the expectation is, you're going to go into that second tier, the third tier type of market.
Right.
I would say that the average ask, if you're not a minority, is probably about $500,000 liquid. It's not as much as you would think.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That also,
especially for what some of these roles are making in retail auto.
That's right.
And it's not like where I came from in Canada, where a GM's making maybe $250 a year. There's GMs in this country making $2 million a year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were from Canada.
Yeah, originally from Canada, born and raised on the playground. No, I'm just kidding.
Whereabouts, though? Which part of
I grew up in British Columbia.
Okay.
And then just prior to moving to Dallas area 2 years ago, I was in Edmonton.
Okay.
Yeah, Alberta.
My wife is New Brunswick.
Oh, crazy.
She's East Coast.
See, nobody really gets the joke, but I moved from Alberta to Texas. And people go, so where are you from? I say extremely northern Texas.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because Alberta is cattle and oil and prairie and
just
cowboys.
Snow. And snow.
And snow, yep, for 9.5 months of the year.
That's right. That's right.
That's fantastic. Well, this is something that sounds amazing. I love this. I just love the smell of opportunity.
Yeah.
And there are so many individuals in our industry that are looking for that next level of growth. And it sounds like what you've come up with here, the road to ownership, is exactly that. Before we wind down here, I want to turn it back to you, Steve. How can those listening and watching get in touch with you and connect with you?
Yeah, so Stephen Whitlock, we do a pretty big social media presence. LinkedIn is where our biggest platform
awesome.
Is.
Yep.
But you can look me up. It's Stephen with a V. My cell phone number is 413-454-4975. Our website is www.innovationfinancials.com. But if I could, there is one other thing I'd like to talk about.
Too, please.
If we could. So that road to ownership is an amazing program, and it's a great pathway, right? But we do so much more. We're categorizing ourselves as a wealth management company, and we put a focus on the F&I department along with building a reinsurance company for the dealership.
Yep.
The value add, when we're at the Chrysler Minority Dealer, dealer said to me, he goes, hey, Steve, I know you're going to make money on me. I said, yeah, I'm a for-profit company. I want to be very clear on that.
Sure.
And he's like, what's the value that you bring to the dealership? And we just listed off everything we do. What was really interesting is, while we're at this show, we actually pulled the trigger on this amazing AI technology that actually allows us to monitor the F&I departments in their performance in real time.
Yep.
So we're really excited about that. But we do everything from hands-on training. We provide the menu software solution. We also provide DMS-driven reporting. So it's reporting that's coming from your DMS, so it's going to be accurate. I have retail guys that are on my team. Delano just came out of retail, general manager. Shane, he just came out of being at a same store for 18 years as an F&I manager. And these are the guys that we will send into your stores to work with your teams so you can achieve that highest level of success.
That's awesome. Thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook.
Appreciate it, sir. Thanks.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dealer Playbook podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please subscribe, share, and hit that like button. You can also join us and the DPB community on social media. Check back next week for a new Dealer Playbook episode. Thanks so much for joining.